Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day of the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for January 17th, 2019, and we're continuing the account of Joseph, beginning in Genesis chapter 42, verse 1. When Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why are you standing here looking at each other?" He also said, "Listen, I've heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us there, so that we may live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt, but Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin along with his other brothers, because he said something bad might happen to him. The sons of Israel were among those who came to buy grain because of the famine in the land of Canaan. Joseph was the governor over the land. He was the one who sold grain to all the people of the land. Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted like a stranger toward them and spoke harshly to them. He asked them, "Where did you come from?" They said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Joseph remembered the dreams that he had dreamed about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see where the land is exposed." They said to him, "No, my lord, your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies." He said to them, "No, you have come to see where the land is exposed." They said, "We, your servants, are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Listen, at the present time the youngest remains with our father, and one is no more." Joseph said to them, "It is just as I said, you are spies. This is how you will be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall never get out of here, unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept under arrest, so that your words may be tested, whether you are telling the truth. Otherwise, by the life of Pharaoh, you are spies." He kept them all together, confined in the jail for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do what I tell you, and you will live, because I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined in the jail, but the rest of you, go and deliver grain to your houses to relieve the famine. Bring your youngest brother to me, so that your words may be verified, and you will not die." So they did as he said. They said to one another, "We are certainly guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the misery of his soul when he begged us, but we would not listen. That is why this misery has come upon us." Reuben answered them, "Didn't I tell you, do not sin against the boy? But you would not listen. So now payment for his blood is being required from us." They did not know that Joseph understood them, because an interpreter was being used between them. Joseph turned away from them and wept. After he returned and spoke to them, he seized Simeon from among them, and tied him up before their very eyes. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their containers with grain, to return each man's money into his sack, and to give them food for the journey. So all this was done for them. They loaded their donkeys with grain and departed from there. When one of them opened his sack at the lodging place to give his donkey food, he saw his money. It was right there in the mouth of his bag. He said to his brothers, "My money has been returned. Look, there it is in my bag." Their hearts sank, and they turned to one another trembling and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" They came to Jacob their father in the land of Canaan and told him everything that had happened to them. They said, "The man, the lord of the land, spoke harshly to us and accused us of being spies against the country. We said to him, 'We are honest men, we are not spies, we are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One brother is no more, and at the present time the youngest is with our father in the land of Canaan.' That man, the lord of the land, said to us, 'This is how I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me. Take grain to relieve the famine at your houses and go on your way. Bring your youngest brother to me. Then I will know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men. Then I will release your brother to you, and you will be allowed to conduct business in the land.' Then as they emptied their sacks, they were surprised to see that each man's pouch of money was in his sack. When they and their father saw their pouch of money, they were afraid. Jacob, their father, said to them, 'You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, Simeon is no more, and now you want to take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." Reuben spoke to his father, "You may put my two sons to death if I do not bring him back to you, and trust him to my care, and I will bring him back to you again." Jacob said, "My son shall not go down with you, since his brother is dead and he alone is left. If he has a mishap on the journey that you are taking, he will bring my gray hairs down to the grave with sorrow." This is the word of our God. As we get started, it's good to have in mind a little bit of chronology. Joseph had been sold into slavery when he was 17 years old, back in chapter 37 at the beginning of the chapter. Moses notes that for us, that Joseph was 37. And then if you add up all the years that he has been there in Egypt, he's been there for 20 years. So he's now 37. And his brothers, the 12 or 11 out of the 12 brothers were all born within about a 6 or 7 year period. You remember that that Jacob had married Leah and Rachel and then had taken Bilhah and Zilpah, their maidservants, as secondary wives as well. And so these women were, you know, pregnant for basically 6 or 7 years. In 1 year, it seems that three sons were born all at the same time. And so they aren't that far apart in age. Even Reuben, the oldest of the bunch, who kind of takes on this leadership position, he's only 6 years older than Joseph. The youngest of the bunch, Benjamin, well, he's not in that string of 11 brothers. He comes a little bit later. He's about 20 years younger than Reuben. So Joseph is 37, Reuben is like 43, and Benjamin is like 20, 21, 22, 23, somewhere right in there. And so it's not this image of the older patriarch Reuben bringing along a little toddler or a little kid, but these are grown men who are all very close in age. And that comes into play a little bit in this chapter and in the next, because what they should be doing is confessing their sin. Joseph doesn't reveal himself right away because he understands the proper use of the law here, I think is what's really going on. That even these men who protest to Joseph and to their father that we are honest men, they say it like two or three or maybe even four times in this whole chapter, we are honest men, one is no more. Well, that's true, except for the fact that you left out the fact that you sold him into slavery. And so Joseph recognizes that he needs to be there to call these men to repentance. And it's not a personal grudge and it's not a personal vendetta. But he's acting in fulfillment of what God had prophesied and what God had said in his dream would happen. Here come his family to bow down before him. And you'll notice that when Joseph speaks, he doesn't speak and call upon some of the Egyptian gods as an oath. He basically says, "As surely as Pharaoh is alive." And notice what he says back in verse 18, after he had left them to sit in prison for 3 days to think about things. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do what I tell you and you will live, because I fear God." Joseph here has this opportunity as really the only one who can bring the law to these men, and these men who have been deluding themselves and who have put out of their minds and have been lying about Joseph and what happened to Joseph for 20 years, even to their own father. And Joseph, hearing, you know, we are honest men, he's like, okay, let's let you have a little bit of time to think this through. And let's put a little bit of a test on the line, perhaps to make them think and come to that realization that they had sinned against God, that they had sinned against their father, that they had sinned against Joseph. But then we'll see at the conclusion of the Joseph account, we'll see how God had used this for a blessing. So what can we learn from Genesis chapter 42 here today? The account of the brothers meeting Joseph for the first time face to face. Well, first of all, the first takeaway that we've got is that there's no room for grudges When somebody sins against us or we sin against them, it's very easy to devolve into backstabbing or betrayal or talking down about somebody. But just being upfront and straightforward and honest and saying, this is what you said and this is how it hurt me and you sinned against me with your words. And for the other person to, you know, not blow it off, but to recognize in Christian love, we're really talking about how Christians interact here, I suppose. In Christian love, that person can say, I see that, and I'm sorry, I've sinned against you and against God. Please forgive me. That's the proper use, where the law is used, really. There's no room for grudges. There's no room for things spiraling out of control, but simply saying, this is what God has said, and this is the relationship that I have to you. And so let's restore that using the tools that God has given us in these keys, this announcement of law and the announcement of gospel. And perhaps the second takeaway among many, you know, here is Joseph living in a foreign land that is completely overrun with foreign gods, and he would have every reason to despair. He would have every reason to throw up his hands and wonder why he was there. But God was doing more than Joseph realized. And God had told him that a little bit with Pharaoh's dream, and there had been that foreshadowing from his own dream. But as you and I live in a land that is not our own, because as Christians we realize that our real home is in heaven. We live in this world as what's the word, pilgrims or sojourners in this world. I think Hebrews chapter 11 talks that way. We recognize that our standard of conduct is not the same as the world around us. But at the same time, in this world of sin and death and pain, we might be sinned against, and we might be unjustly treated, and it might come at personal expense. But rest assured that even if you were put in Joseph's shoes, and even if you were in prison for 20 years or more, your God knows. Our God knows the truth, and he did something about it. Our God knows the truth of our sin, and he gave his son. And if God gave his son for you, of course, he will watch over your life. He will comfort you and take care of you, so that even the sin that the world sins against you, God is going to turn into a blessing for you. Thanks so much for listening today. If you found some benefit from this, hit that share button and share it with a friend. And finally, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for improvement, check out the show notes and contact me, Pastor Hagen. Thanks so much. God bless your day.